The FBI has arrested Roger Stone, the president's political advisor. Exclusive footage you're looking at right now from CNN as the FBI arrives at Roger Stone's residence in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, taking him into custody. We understand he will be arraigned in Fort Lauderdale later this morning, indicted on 7 counts, 1 count of obstruction, 5 counts of making false statements, 1 count of witness tampering.
We've asked Pat Brady to put his lawyer pants on. He was a prosecutor. He chased all the bad guys. He's read 1,001 indictments, and he can cut through this stuff to get to the core of it. So good morning, Pat, and thanks for doing this on short notice, obviously. How are you?
Great. Hey, note to self, if you ever think you're going to be indicted, sleep in your jogging suit because you don't want to be in the lockup in your pajamas like Roger Stone right now.
Did they take him out in his pajamas?
Yeah, it looked like it. The film, you saw the film, it was dark, but they went in there with a lot of agents and yanked him out, and accordingly to the press counts in his pajamas. So anyway.
All right, so quickly on that, it appears to be, for an old guy in Harry Potter glasses, it appeared to be over the top. I'm not criticizing the FBI, but why would they go with guys in helmets and
full tactical units.
Yeah, full tactical gear, all of that.
You do that. I asked the same question 25 years ago to an agent. He said you have to go in any circumstance with overwhelming force because you don't know what the guy you're going after is going to do.
Okay.
That's standard operating procedure because you're going with 2 guys. Maybe somebody flips out, pulls a gun. You only got 2 guys there. You got to make sure everything's secure. That's why they did what they did.
Right, but like when Manafort and some of these others were allowed to walk in, they didn't give this to Stone because they thought he'd destroy evidence or flee? Or what would be the purpose of that?
A lot of reasons, and there's always the discussion about that. Back in my day, I arrested everybody because if you're going to arrest people for small crimes, you got to arrest white-collar guys, too. So I think that's always a discussion within the Bureau. I'm not sure if it has any significance.
Okay.
But with Stone, he's at the coast of Florida. Maybe they thought he was going to run. Who knows? And Stone's kind of one of those dark actors you probably can't trust.
Oh, sure.
So you might not trust him to show him if he tipped him off.
Yeah, he makes Trump look honest. All right, so Roger Stone indicted on obstruction of justice and witness tampering, and he's in a lot of trouble here.
Yeah, 7 counts of obstruction, 5 lying to Congress, 1 witness tampering. Here's the takeaways from the indictment. This indictment affirmatively states that Stone, through an intermediator, was indirectly communicating with WikiLeaks on the documents that the Russians had hacked from the Democratic National Committee and were leaked throughout the course of the campaign. So the big thing is it ties a high-level Trump operative, campaign operative, to the WikiLeaks leak. What it is not is a substantive indictment on conspiracy with the Russians to interfere with the election results. The way I would put this is a marathon's 26 miles. We're at mile 20, but now we have a high-level Trump official, very close friend of the president, who communicated with the campaign and him all the time, who is indirectly communicating with WikiLeaks, who was working with the Russians with these stolen documents.
All right, so I must have misread it because I thought it was plural, as in, I don't know the indictment in front of me, but I thought it talked about more than one inside Trump campaign inner circle type. Was it just one?
Yeah. They had communication with a lot of them.
So, but, I mean, we know that circle's small, and we know some of them are already indicted, but doesn't this bode poorly for, I don't know, Don Jr.?
Oh, yeah. I'm just more, but again, this is a process indictment versus, not that it's not significant, because it is, he's going to jail, but it's not the smoking gun on the conspiracy with the Russians yet. But that being said, this does not in any way preclude Bob Mueller from going back and re-indicting this guy and putting him in a larger indictment. If you really watch this and kind of look back at the timeline, and we talked about 2 years ago, he's masterfully putting this case together.
Yeah, it appears that he's not too wrapped up in what we think and how fast we want him to go. He's doing his job.
You can compare him to Ken Starr, who came out every day with a cup of coffee and a goofy smile on his face, and we saw him every day. You never see Mueller. You never hear from him. He's just doing his job.
All right, so we're going to break this up. If you're available a little later in the program, and Joel will talk to you off the air about this, we want you to come back after you have a little more time to digest the rest of the story.
Yeah, it's a long indictment. It's a lot of facts in it, but that's the sum of it.
All right, thanks. Pat Brady, more on him later on in the show.
Look, I know that the charges are about whether or not he gave false statements, and that's on that individual. That has nothing to do with the president. Those are the charges that they have brought against this individual. When you want to get into specific questions, you'll have to talk to the president's outside counsel on that.
Sarah Huckabee, oh my God, why did I ever take this job, Sanders?
On CNN this morning about the indictment of Roger Stone. Pat Brady rejoins us now. Pat was a federal prosecutor. He's indicted a bunch of bad guys. How often and how many times can you go to the well? It wasn't me, it was them, when everybody that's them is so closely associated with you?
It doesn't work. Just ask Ken Lay at Enron or any CEO that's been indicted for any kind of fraud. It doesn't work. I watched that Sarah Sanders interview real quickly. In May, the DNC announced they've been hacked by the Russians. In July, WikiLeaks releases the stolen documents. So the world knows the documents have been stolen by the Russians and released by WikiLeaks. Paragraph 12 of this indictment, you got to read it. After the July release, a senior Trump campaign official was directed to contact Stone about additional releases by WikiLeaks. Who could that senior campaign or that person have been and was directed? Was it Trump? Was it Manafort? Who was it? And she was specifically asked that question in the interview. Was it the president that directed people in his office to contact Stone? And she dodged the answer.
In general, when the president stood up and said, Russia, if you're listening, I hope you can find the 30,000 emails. The timeline of that was directly related to the WikiLeaks thing. And then in campaign appearances over and over again, he's talked about how he loves WikiLeaks. All that is video that's available with a couple of clicks.
That statement was July 27th.
It all lines up, right?
Yeah. And you always timeline these things. And I just tried to do it there. If you timeline it, like, oh, that makes sense. He made that speech. Now, CNN's reporting, so take it for what it's worth, that he made 137 Twitter mentions of WikiLeaks during the course of the campaign.
Hey, Pat, how much of this is new? It was not a surprise that Roger Stone was going to get indicted, but when you read the indictment, how much of it is stunning, breaking news, developing new stuff that we didn't know?
Paragraph, what I just read.
That's it.
Because it opens up the question, the passive language of was directed by a senior campaign official. There weren't that many of them in July of 2016. Manafort, the president, Bannon wasn't even there then, if I had my timeline correct. So who directed? And we got the president 5 days later making that statement, the circle there, it's circumstantial evidence, but you convict people of crimes with circumstantial evidence all day long. And it's just that's the new part, I think. And I think the president's story today is going to be it's all about things that don't relate to him. That'll be his line. But the Sarah Sanders answering the question about what was directed was at the president when her answer was, I'm not a lawyer.
So she can hide all day long, and that is what it is. How long can Mitch McConnell, as the leader of the Republicans, continue to hide when Republican moderates around the country, at the least, and certainly part of his base, with all current poll numbers, show that they're losing ground every day?
Getting killed right now. He's at 35%. The shutdown's killing him. That this is, and I agree kind of somewhat, Justin, with the sentiment of your question. Is any of this new? Not really, just that one portion. But at 35% approval, at some point, somebody's got to jump ship. And there are people that are actually asking some legitimate questions. But McConnell's been missing in action since the beginning because he's up for election in 2 years.
But having said that, can he hide for that long with all of this coming down? I mean, I've long since given up hope that he'll do the right thing and be the leader he was elected to be and be the patriot he purports himself to be. He's not. He's a coward and a narcissist and a criminal. There's a New York Times Magazine piece on him this week, which is nothing short of embarrassing, about the rules he's changed in the Senate and him taking credit for things that have really changed the course of this country and not in positive ways. But do we have any faith in leadership in Congress now? Is there anybody I can look to?
I think there are some people on the Senate, the Intelligence Committee, that are actually Burr and some others, Senator Burr, that are trying to do the right thing. Senator Warner's a Democrat. I think there are, but I think if you look to McConnell for that kind of leadership, you're never going to find it. It was interesting what Chuck Todd said yesterday. He likens himself to LBJ and Everett Dirksen. And that's not going to be the case for he or Harry Reid, historically.
So Michael Cohen and Paul Manafort, his attorney, this is not an arguable point. our points. His personal attorney for the past 10 years and the guy that ran his campaign are already up the river. And now Roger Stone, who's been his associate, his follow-up
campaign advisor
to a Cohn from the 50s and 60s and was Trump's Trump's mentor right through the 80s. And now Roger Stone is going away as well. I mean, the only people closer to him at this point.
His family.
Yeah, Trump Jr. and Ivanka.
Yeah, it could be one of those people that directed to find out more, which would be consistent with Jr. The thing is, hey, I'm sorry to say this. I read this indictment and in context. This is the biggest clown show I've ever seen. And when you read what Roger Stone did trying to intimidate one of the intermediaries, it's the level of stupidity is unbelievable. They're dealing with the United States Department of Justice, and they're lying to Congress. It's really mind-boggling.
Somebody just made a good point, too, that first ago maybe Kushner, and I didn't mention him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be any of those, but that's a pretty, you can narrow it down to six or seven people.
Yeah, you're right.
Wasn't me. Wasn't me. I'm the leader of the free world, but I'm too stupid to realize everyone around me is a criminal. That's another great day to be Donald Trump.
Well, I mean, you're from New York. When you deal with New Yorkers, they're real educated. They're smart people, mm-hmm. and they're sophisticated people. You read this stuff, you go, what a mess these people are and this campaign was. I mean, it's continued as president, but it's really just odd.
Well, the bottom line is everything that we have said about Trump from 2015 and on is proving to be true, and it's being proven by him and the people around him. So,
bad for the country. This is bad for the country.
No, it's horrible.
Bad for the country. But we're not going to see the right thing, I don't think, from leadership for a while.
Will we hear from Trump today by Twitter or any other way?
He's gone silent so far. I haven't seen anything. But I think we've seen the storyline from Sarah Sanders, and probably midday we'll hear no collusion. But every step closer. Again, this is nothing new on him except that paragraph, but it's pretty bad, and now it all makes sense. But remember, there are two buckets, too. There's the Russian collusion related to the Trump enterprises, and then there's the collusion rate related to the Hillary email. So there's a lot of components here, and that's how you build a conspiracy case.
Thank you, Pat Brady. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
Thanks, Pat.
Have a good day.